The annual conference of the American Library Association opened this week in San Francisco, and many attendees may have their eyes on the job board. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Earlier this month, James Billington, the 86-year-old Librarian of Congress, announced he would retire after 28 years. The ALA has called for his replacement to come from the ranks of its own membership. In other words, they say, the librarian should be a librarian. Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, is covering the ALA conference, and he joins me now from the city by the bay. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, you are in San Francisco for the American Library Association meeting. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. But back in the capital of publishing in New York, it's been a busy week. And there's been some news from Barnes & Noble, who released their fiscal year-end numbers. And once again, what we see is a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah, that's right. This week we got some new numbers for Barnes & Noble, this time for the fiscal year, which ended May 2nd, 2015. You can read more about these numbers on the PW website, of course, and I'm sure we'll have more analysis in Monday's issue. And as usual, as you suggest, there were some good news and some not so good news for Barnes & Noble. The good news is that the company actually turned a small profit of $36.6 million compared to 2014, when it booked a loss of $47.3 million. But the profit improvement came despite a 4.9% decline in total revenue, and Barnes & Noble also closed about 13 stores over the last fiscal year and announced plans to close about 13 more stores in 2016. So what made for the improved bottom line for Barnes & Noble? Smaller losses in the Nook division, which has become a much smaller part of BNN as a whole. Digital revenue and device sales are pretty much in free fall for Barnes & Noble, but Nook's footprint has been reduced overall, so that's had an overall better effect on the bottom line. Overall, BNN officials say they're pretty upbeat about the coming year. They're looking for a much better fiscal 2016. They're actually expecting about a 1% bump in sales. We will see if that comes to pass, and they also expect Nook losses to continue to decline over the prior year.
All right. Well, shareholders won't get the boost for a time to come just yet. But this week we have some great news regarding E.L. James's new book, and it's off to quite a start.
Yeah, well, this should certainly help Barnes & Noble's and as well as indie booksellers' bottom lines. Gray, the much buzzed about latest installment of E.L. James's 50 Shades of Gray series, blasted to the top of PW's print bestseller list, clocked in at number one and sold more than 350,000 copies in just 3 days on sale, according to Nielsen BookScan. And according to the publisher, it sold more than 1.1 million copies across trade paperback, ebooks, and the audio formats. And as we discussed last week, we have a new Harper Lee coming out. We have a new Bill O'Reilly book coming in September. So I think the numbers for this year for booksellers are going to be very, very telling. We have some huge blockbusters, and I'll point out that these are adult blockbusters. These are not YA series or John Green blockbusters. These are in the adult segment. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see for Barnes & Noble as well as for indie booksellers how the book business performs throughout the fall this year with some very big books.
Well, certainly exciting times for those booksellers as summer approaches and summer reading kicks in as well. Well, I believe it was Mark Twain who said the coldest winter he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco. And you're in San Francisco at the start of summer there for the American Library Association meeting. And tell us, what about the issues and discussions you're expecting to see?
Yeah, I'm expecting a very upbeat meeting, and the weather is lovely. I'll say that right off. It's about 70 degrees and sunny here, so just great. But I'm expecting a strong show, and we talked a little bit about it in previous weeks, but I'm really eager to get a greater sense of where the library ebook market stands out here, and I'll be covering a session once again from the ALA's Digital Content Working Group that will be addressing ebooks and a number of other digital issues. And there was some news on that front, actually, this week, and that's that WW Norton, which is perhaps the most well-known non-major indie publisher, they publish some really terrific books, is finally going to start lending library ebooks. And you know, Norton has been sort of the dirty little secret in the library market, in that even as all the majors have gotten the headlines about their policies and they eventually all got into ebook lending, Norton has always quietly resisted and has not gotten into library ebook lending. And I don't pretend to know what the thinking is at Norton. But I will say that even in their press release announcing that they were going to enable library ebooks, which was pretty light on details, they still sounded kind of reluctant. And what is especially interesting to me is the contrast between the press release, the idea that Norton is finally getting into the game, and the conversation that's going to be taking place here in San Francisco. Because we've already moved well beyond the point that Norton is just finally coming around to. We're talking about how the ebook business is fundamentally changing. We're talking about new streaming services, and librarians are talking about new ways to make content available to readers in easier ways. So I'd say welcome to Norton, but I don't expect the news is going to be greeted with much fanfare here. And probably most of what we'll hear is a little of what took you so long.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, I alluded to it in my introduction, but this week the American Library Association has urged President Obama to appoint a librarian to run the Library of Congress. And that ties into some of the discussions we've been having recently about changes afoot in the Copyright Office. Do you expect that to be a topic there in San Francisco as well?
I do. Actually, I think it's going to be a hot topic for a number of reasons. And, you know, first of all, you're right. The ALA official sent a very interesting letter to President Obama urging him to replace the retiring Librarian of Congress, James Billington, who's a historian, with a librarian. That is someone who holds an MLIS degree, maybe has actually run a library. And I think it will be a major topic of conversation for many reasons. But first, because it does tie into the discussion that we've been having about whether the Copyright Office should be separated from the LC and made independent. All week last week, I had talks with Washington-based groups. I spoke to a number of people for a column that I'm working on. More on that to come. And they all confirmed that they really don't see no reason why the Copyright Office couldn't be upgraded within the Library of Congress, nor is there any guarantee that an independent Copyright Office would be properly supported. They reserved judgment for the most part on whether or not they thought it was a good idea or what could be gained from this. But, you know, what I think is interesting is that if you read Maria Palante, who's the Register of Copyright's April testimony to Congress, and she talks about the strain that the Copyright Office is under, it's also clear to me that most of the tasks that she's talking about are very closely aligned to the library issues. So I think that's an interesting point going forward for the next Librarian of Congress. Now, why does this all matter? I think it matters because here in San Francisco, we're here for ALA, right in the shadow of Silicon Valley, we are having a conversation about the future of libraries in the digital age. There are a lot of panels and discussions on how libraries are going to function going forward in the world of ebooks and digital information, and who runs the Library of Congress, as well as the Copyright Office, is going to say a good deal about how libraries, how these institutions are going to function going forward. I personally will say that it's a lot about how we balance the inherent tension in the words that animate the Copyright Act in the U.S. Do we lean towards progress, towards access, or the idea that information is vital to an informed citizenry, or do we tilt with the new Librarian of Congress and possibly the new Register of Copyrights more towards incentivizing business and creative industries? Now, both are absolutely key missions, and balance has always been the key when it comes to copyright. So I think who leads the Library of Congress going forward is going to be a major issue out here. I have some recommendations if anyone wants to get in touch from the library, from President Obama's office. And I also think that the next Librarian of Congress is going to have an unprecedented chance to really sort of tip the balance for libraries in the digital age. So look for more in Monday's issue of PW and on the website over the weekend from here in San Francisco.
Well, we certainly will. And a terrific analysis there, because you really did put your finger on where copyright comes from. Article 1, Section 8, and that's the U.S. Constitution I'm speaking about. So that notion of balance there, I think, is what is implied in the words. And hopefully we'll see some balance, but in a city where balance is almost unheard of, if not banned outright, I don't know if we can expect very much from Washington.
I would say that we can expect very little from Washington.
That's
point.
Right. But we can expect a lot from Andrew Albanese, who joins us this week from San Francisco at the American Library Association meeting. Andrew, thank you for joining us on Beyond the Book.
Thank you.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Chris Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.